Thank you for joining us on Radioactive Magazine. We will be talking this evening about redistricting and gerrymandering with Mary Lindsay with the Fair Redistricting Committee of the League of Women Voters of Missouri. Connie Taylor, who testified on redistricting before the Kansas State Redistricting Committee on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Johnson County. And Tammy Sexton, who has been observing the process of redrawing the boundaries of the city council districts in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm Spencer Graves. So tell me, what's redistricting?
Well, this is, you know, the result of law that every 10 years we count our people. And once we count the people, we look at the changes in states and in districts, and we have to redraw the lines to fit the new reality of what the number of people are and where they go. In the case of what I'm covering in Kansas City, Missouri, we've increased by 50,000, you know, over 10% since the last census 10 years ago. So we have to redraw the lines.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's even in the Constitution of the United States of America. Right.
Yes.
So, Connie, what's the most important thing you want Kansas voters to know right now about this year's redistricting process?
Well, I'd like for people to know that redistricting isn't just about redrawing district lines. Redistricting will impact you for the next 10 years. It's going to impact you in what races you're going to see on your ballot, whether elected officials will address your community's shared concerns, you know, whether how they'll respond to a natural disaster or how they'll maintain the roads that you drive on daily. And it's going to impact the next generation of voters. Think of an 8-year-old now. In 10 years, they're going to be eligible to vote.
Right. Of course, the big issue is in redistricting is gerrymandering. Would one of you want to talk about gerrymandering?
Well, I'll take that. Gerrymandering, which is nowadays I've been hearing people call it gerrymandering, but it basically is an unfair drawing of the district lines. It's done in two different ways. Primarily, one is called packing, and that is where, okay, always there is one party that has a great amount of power. They're predominant, and they somehow have control of the drawing of the lines. And so they are often able to pack a lot of the opposing party into a few districts so that that opposing party gets way more votes than what they need in order to win an election. So they pack them in there. The other thing they do is quack them if it works better for them when there is a concentrated area of their opposing party. They can quack it, that area, so that all of those votes become diminished and simply don't get to win in that area.
Yeah, right. And both Kansas and Missouri, I think, apparently, Republicans currently hold 67% of the seats in the Kansas State Senate and over 70% of the seats in the Kansas State House of Representatives. The Missouri State House and Senate are also over 70% Republican, and Republicans have 75% of the delegations of each state in the U.S. House. Meanwhile, a 2018 Gallup poll found that only 47% of Missouri respondents were Republican or leaning Republican versus 38% for Democrat. So basically, if you ignore the independents, that's 55% of Missouri respondents and 57% of Kansas respondents were Republican. You know, it makes one wonder, how do they get from 55% or 57% to 70% and 75%? Comments?
I don't know who you're addressing it to, but primarily the answer is by having already had unfair lines drawn.
By packing and cracking like you just described. Yes. Yes. Tommy, what's the most important thing you want voters in Kansas City, Missouri to know right now about this current redistricting process?
Well, you may have a different city council representative. You may have a different district that you're assigned to because the lines are changing. And you may be voting in a different place. So a lot of things will change. It is not so driven, by partisan politics in Kansas City. This is a district committee or a committee that is redrawing the lines for redistricting that's appointed by the mayor, representing different parts of the city. And usually they have 9 months to figure this out. This time they had 9 weeks.
Oh.
This is throughout the country because the census took so long. They had to redo it. COVID interfered. Lots of things got in the way of taking an accurate census. They needed more time. That put less time on this end because by law, we have to have new districts formed and figured out by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. Right. Mary, is there anything you want to add that's different about the whole state of Missouri from what we heard regarding Kansas and KCMO?
Well, I don't honestly know what the process is in Kansas for doing the redistricting. So ours may be quite different. Certainly in Missouri, we have a big difference between how the state legislative lines are drawn, meaning for the state House seats and Senate seats, versus the congressional seats, which is a, frankly, totally partisan and political process. The way in Kansas the congressional seats are drawn is just like any other bill. It's like the House comes up with a map, and they have a committee, and they come up with a map. And then, so they just introduce it as a bill, like any other bill, and then the Senate either accepts it as it was introduced or amends it. But basically, it only has to pass both chambers with a simple majority, and then it goes to the governor. And since Missouri, we have a supermajority in both chambers of one party, and the same party is held by the governorship. So, I mean, they truly can do whatever they want to do. They have the power to do whatever they want to do. The only thing that is a limitation in that is that St. Louis is a majority-minority of African Americans there. And so almost all of the Voting Rights Act has been thrown out by the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court. But one thing that is left is that racial gerrymandering is not allowed. So that one district can't be messed with very much. But in the rest of the state, that's not true. In fact, and then I'll stop talking. The Secretary of State of Missouri has at least twice in public speeches said that he thinks that having 7 seats held by his party would be more representative of the state of Missouri than having it the way it currently is, which is basically 6 Republican seats and 2 Democratic seats. And so, I mean, you know, he is kind of, to me, giving a go-ahead to the legislature to eliminate the possibility of a Democrat in District 5, which is where we are here in Kansas City. So it's pretty interesting.
You know, something Spencer, if you don't mind, something similar happened in Kansas. We had the former state senator, state Senate leader, who proclaimed that she wanted to pretty much slice and dice Wyandotte out of the 3rd Congressional District. And, you know, Wyandotte County is predominantly, it is a majority-minority community. And, you know, we are strongly opposed to that. We think Wyandotte should stay with the Johnson County and keep as much of the 3rd Congressional District as it is. And even portions of District 1, they don't want Wyandotte. They said, you know, Wyandotte is very different. It's a metropolitan area. District 1 in Kansas is a rural area, and so they don't have a whole lot in common.
Right. So they're gunning for Sharice David's seat, and they hope to get 4 Republicans and 0 Democrats in the U.S. Congress that way. Is that what you're hearing?
But as we've seen, you can sue, and that's happening in Texas right now. And for the Voting Rights Act, if they see possibly bias against minorities, there is a possible way to sue. So an interested party could be someone from the state, or it could be an interested group, ACLU or something like that. That is a possibility.
Well, and the Attorney General of the United States has now put forward...
Can you all turn up the volume? If you got a volume control in your computers, can you turn up the volume? I'm having trouble hearing. Or Craig... can you turn up the volume somehow? Because I'm having trouble hearing them.
It's up all the way.
Okay.
It's coming through on here.
Okay, well, maybe just my earbud then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Continue, never mind.
Well, I was just agreeing about the lawsuit situation that Tommy mentioned, that I think it was just today that the Attorney General of the United States did... You know, he is suing Texas
over the state of Texas, yes. Right. So, Mary, you previously directed me to the website of the Redistricting Office of the Division of Budget and Planning of the Missouri Office of Administration. And I put a link to that in the description of this episode of Radioactive Magazine on kkfi.org.
That only deals with the state legislative redistricting. It has nothing to do with congressional. But and there is actually something in it on December 20th at 11 a.m. There's a link in there. So if anybody wanted to actually watch the Senate redistricting committee.
The Missouri State Senate.
Commission,
right, they, right.
Anyway,
okay. Interesting. That's great. So what are you recommending Missouri residents do regarding redistricting, apart from going to that website to inform themselves and register? I guess you said just you might like to watch the discussion. Is that what you're saying?
Well, for the General Assembly, that is really, I mean, there really isn't much left. The opportunity, well, actually, that's not true. People can, there's no more opportunity to speak at public hearings.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in Kansas City, I should say, on October 19th. But that's passed. But they still, until probably December 23rd, would be able to write testimony that they would submit electronically. It wouldn't be spoken. It would just be written.
Good.
But, you know, for people, you know, if they have thoughts about the kind of redistricting they would want to see, and, of course, we of the League of Women Voters want it to be as transparent and nonpartisan.
Yes, absolutely. So in case, for our listeners, in case you just joined us, we're talking with Connie Taylor and Mary Lindsay. about redistricting in Kansas and Missouri, and with Tommy Sexton about redistricting in Kansas City, Missouri itself. They're working on this issue as part of their service to democracy through the League of Women Voters. So any or all of you, what are the most important things that each of you want to say to our listeners that has not already been mentioned?
Well, I would say that there's still time in the case of KCMO redistricting to possibly testify. There was a meeting today, and it was actually pretty explosive at times for over 3 hours. And this was the presentation to one of the subcommittees for the city commission of the redistricting committee's recommendation. So their recommendation has often been routine, with some changes and not a lot of controversy. This time is different, especially in the Northland. So there is a recommendation of a horizontal line as opposed to the historic vertical line between the two counties almost. And they gave a lot of reasons today why they recommended this. It was a 6-3 vote. There were many members of the public that testified. And then there were a lot of people that were upset about the recommendation. There will be another meeting this Thursday. I'll check the time for you. People could still testify and get on that. You could at least watch it if you want to. Any of these meetings, kcmo.org, and familiarize yourself with the controversy and what's going on. So things could really change for you, especially if you're in the Northland. Eventually, one or more of these, if it did, they did take this recommendation, one or more of the city commissioners would have to either move or someone else would be voted in because of the new lines. That's not necessarily the case in some of the others, but there have been some big changes. The Plaza, Nelson Art Gallery, all of that area will now be part of the 6th District is what they're recommending. So there's a lot of things to find out about that could affect you.
So tell me, where would you go to? Where would someone go to get more information about that?
KCMO.org, City Clerk's Office. Find out when the next meetings are. There's only two left. There's one this Thursday, and there's one that's going to be presented. I don't know that they'll have public testimony then, next Wednesday at their usual City Council time at 3 o'clock. So they could go to that, and always the City Clerk's.
Okay, so Tommy, send me an email after this broadcast, I can modify the episode description to make it easier for people to find that if they go to the description of this episode at kkfi.org.
Of course.
I'd like to throw in there a little comment about that one, too, and that is that the process being used in Kansas City, Missouri is so very, very superior to that being used in either of the other statewide processes, because it is very transparent. I mean, as Tommy was saying, people are still even able to testify and that kind of thing. They show the maps, and then it's so transparent and so accessible to, at least that's how I have understood it.
Well, and on the whole, it's been very respectful. And so it's not okay. Been without controversy, but yeah, it's been an admirable process so far.
And I can tell you, in Kansas, people still have time to submit written testimony about how they want their district lines drawn, and we're recommending people do that before January 10th, the start of the legislative session. And Kansas is a little different. They have until really June 1st to decide the maps. But we're still encouraging people to be prepared at a moment's notice to provide testimony during public hearings when the committees are meeting in Topeka. And likewise, be prepared to submit comments on any proposed maps that come out from the Kansas legislature.
That's great. So, Mary, why did you decide that this particular issue was sufficiently important that you wanted to devote your time to this?
Well, I think it's hard to overstate how very important redistricting is. I mean, and I'm embarrassed to say, 10 years ago, I wasn't even tracking. I mean, I was very involved in my causes, my political causes, but not redistricting at all. And so I'm trying to make up for it this go around.
Yeah.
Because it is. I really, really recognize how very important it is.
Yeah. I agree with you. I confess I have to, you know, I tried a little bit early this year, you know, 8 months ago or 9 months ago or whatever to find somebody to talk about this issue, and I couldn't connect. I didn't find the right people to talk to, and I gave up probably prematurely.
Well, I would say never give up until you've checked with the League of Women Voters first.
Well, I thought I did. I think I did, as a matter of fact. But
really?
I didn't talk to the right people, obviously.
Apparently not, yeah.
Yeah, my story was similar to Mary's. I heard about redistricting and passing conversations with friends and kind of put it on the back burner. And I reached out to my local league leadership and said I wanted to be involved with advocacy. And then they came back about redistricting. And I said, okay. And then I jumped in with both feet. And, you know, I had to take a crash course on what redistricting was. And just kind of come up to speed. It took me a few months just to figure it all out. It's very complex.
Yeah, how do you get from 55% of the electorate to 70 or 90% of the representatives? Right, like right.
This is not a fait accompli. I mean, other states have done it differently, and they have had unbiased groups figure this out, or they've gone to the courts and things like that. And it isn't every single state that is this way, although there most are. So it's something to get involved with in between to say, we got to change this. And again, the league is nonpartisan. We're not for either party. We just want one person, one vote. And, you know, we want people represented fairly.
Right.
Kansas. Thanks. Yeah, we're just getting started in Kansas. I mean, our ultimate goal in 2032 is to have an independent commission. Draw the lines.
That would be great. That is the goal, I think, of the League of Women Voters nationally, yes, to be that way. But the fact is that if we were able to see the Freedom to Vote Act, which has passed the House and is now going to have to be dealt with in the U.S. I'm talking about Senate. If that thing passed, in it, one of the features is to have nonpartisan independent commissions in every state be the ones who do the congressional redistricting. And so it would be so dramatically much better than what we have going in Missouri, which is just, I mean, it is just, frankly, I mean, it couldn't be more partisan political. And it's, anyway, so listen, I would urge, well, I mean, if anybody was of a mind to, well, what I do actually regularly is I contact the two senators for my state, Missouri, and I call them and I talk about how important this is and urging them to stand up, step up,
yep,
and do the right thing and at least support it being debated, because
yeah,
you know, when they do the gerrymander business, something doesn't even get a debate. Doesn't go to the floor.
By the way, the term gerrymander dates back to, I think it was 1812, when Elbridge Gerry, who was the governor of Massachusetts, there was a district drawn northeast of Boston that looked to a cartoonist like a salamander, and so he drew a political cartoon and called it a gerrymander. Right.
Well, I would say, too, don't underestimate your power to affect things.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was, in the case of Kansas City, Missouri, it was public testimony that, you know, generated this possible, a lot of these possible changes, and people explaining why it was important to them. And they listened.
That happened in 2012 here in Kansas, even though the District Court of Kansas ultimately drew the lines. They looked at that testimony. It was part of the evidence that was brought forward. So you know they looked at it. Yeah. Just how they drew the lines.
That's
the process for the legislative districts, meaning the Missouri State House and Senate. The process is that there are two commissions. Each of them has 10 Democrats, 10 Republicans, and they have to arrive at 70% agreement on maps for each one of those chambers. Mm-hmm. And they could not do it 10 years ago. And the likelihood of them doing it this time is not high, except for one thing, and that is technology. 10 years ago, they did not have the same kind of, just state-of-the-art technology where they can put those maps into, into a
software.
Into
database.
And the software can quickly evaluate how fair or unfair it is in like four different ways. And so I think they may not be able to. Well, if they want to come up with 70% agreement, they can do it. But they can only do it by making compromises. And so, and if that doesn't happen, it will go to a panel of six judges who will then be responsible for the
matter. So we've only got a couple of minutes left. Let's just enough time for a brief comment from each of you, a brief parting comment on what you think are the most important things you'd like to tell our listeners tonight. Mary?
I guess a couple of things. One of the things is because the process in doing the congressional redistricting in Missouri is so profoundly, a partisan political thing. It's just like any bill that goes through the General Assembly. One thing that people can do is, and this is, I'm not calling on them to do this, but just something I will do again, is contact the chairs of the House Committee and the Senate Committee for congressional redistricting and give my two cents in, how I want it to be fair and not gerrymandered and all of that. We're working on some talking points, but they're not ready for prime time yet.
Okay, wonderful. Connie?
Yeah, again, it's not too late for Kansans to submit written testimony about how they want mm-hmm. their district lines drawn. And like Mary said with Missouri, Kansas is kind of similar. Every legislator is going to be voting on those maps. It's part of a bill. So not only contact the redistricting committees, contact your state representatives and senators and tell them, too, just how you want those maps to be drawn. And again, it's the fight for fair maps doesn't end.
Yeah, I'm getting the signal to cut it off.